truly God's timing, because the message is about grieving, and you know, with all the loss that's taking place right now with the hurricanes, and I didn't plan it. You need to know that. You know, this is something that God has planned out, because we're in John 11, and in John 11, we've been there for a little hot on there. Thank you. We've been in John 11 for a couple messages now, and you know, John is the author. He was a disciple of Jesus. He followed Jesus, and he introduces us to this family that Jesus really loved. This family that has Mary and Martha and a brother named Lazarus, and Mary and Martha are experiencing something that's hurting them because Lazarus is dying. And they send for Jesus, but Jesus doesn't come immediately. And if you've been around the last few weeks, you've heard these messages. And if you haven't, they're on our website, and I encourage you to listen to them there. But Jesus doesn't come immediately because God has a bigger plan. There's something else in planned here. And in the midst of these two sisters waiting for Jesus to come, their brother actually dies. Their brother dies, and they just begin to mourn his loss. And that's where we're at. That's where we're going to pick up the story here. It's called Good Grief Martha, all right? If you're a Charlie Brown fan, you like the title. But in a few weeks, we'll be here in Good Grief Mary, because Mary's the other, and they grieve totally different. And I think that's important for us to see in the scripture that these are real people that live and they experience grief like we do. And I think a lot of us are going to connect with Martha today, because a lot of us are like Martha, and we're going to see how she grieved. And we're going to see how Jesus taught her a better way to grieve, and how that can help you today. So I know you might have gotten comfortable there, but if you can, stand in reverence for God's word. We're going to read 11 verses here, starting in John 11, 17. So when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. When Martha heard Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Let's pray. Father, help us to see the truth here. Help us to know how to grieve in a healthy way. Help us to be encouraged and comforted through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated again. So as I try to do, I will expositorially preach, I guess is what it's called, and just expose the scripture verse by verse, and that's my goal. And so I'm going to start with just the first three verses here and see what we see, and I'll kind of go from there. John 11, 17 says, Jesus came, he found Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So I kind of envision Mary and Martha in this family as being a family that are pretty well known. I mean, people are willing to travel, walking a couple miles away, and a lot of people were coming to console them. This was a big deal. This is a family that is pretty well known, I believe. The interesting thing about John is when he introduces them, there's no real backstory. There's no, like, who are these people? Who is this family? Like, how did Jesus meet them? I mean, I really think someday somebody should write a book, and maybe it's out there already, but it would have to be fictional, okay, because we don't want to, you know, say something the Bible doesn't say, but I would love to know how people met Jesus. I mean, we see all of these people in the Bible, real people, and their lives are completely transformed because they met Jesus, but wouldn't it be nice, just to kind of know how some of them met Jesus? I think that would be a really cool book. We have some other biographies of the life of Jesus, and in this case, Luke, in his biography of Jesus, his gospel, which means good news, we do have a little bit of a backstory of Mary and Martha, And I know we're familiar with the story, some of us. It's in Luke 10. In Luke 10, we have a few verses there that give us a little insight into who Martha and Mary are, specifically Martha. So we're going to go to Luke 10, 38, and we're going to see a little bit of their story. Jesus had went on, it says, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. Now, I don't really know culturally, you know, this is 2,000 years ago, so culturally things are a little bit different, but I picture this just being a small town, kind of a one road in, one road out, you know, kind of a thing, and kind of like the Old West, I feel like this is kind of what I'm thinking this village is like. And if someone prominent came into town, a VIP, right, an important person, and clearly Jesus was, I mean, at this point in his ministry, when he goes around, I mean, there is thousands of people wanting to meet Jesus and get to know him because he's a miracle worker. I mean, he has fed 5,000. He's done lots of miracles at this point. And so now he's coming into town, right? And for him to be at her house and for her to be able to welcome him, I just feel like Mary and Martha probably were, you know, pretty well established in that town, okay? And it says in verse 39 that Martha had a sister named Mary who, while they were having dinner, sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and she said, Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me alone to serve. And then says to Jesus, tell her to help me. And the Lord says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken from her. So we get a little bit of an understanding of who Martha is, what kind of woman Martha was. What do you hear in this text? What, just shout it out. What kind of person is Martha?
Get her done.
Get her done. What else? A servant? Controlling, did I hear? Control freak? Okay. Very anxious?
She's not lazy.
Defending. I think a little jealous, right, of her sister. I think possibly a little type A, a little OCD maybe. We don't know. I'm just saying. We see a little bit of that, and I wonder, do you see a little Martha in you? Do you relate to Martha? I mean, for any of us who have Martha tendencies, you may not hear anything else, but if you hear this, this could really, really help you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Jesus, Peter said this, speaking of Jesus, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This anxiety that Martha was experiencing was not healthy. And Jesus was letting her know. Jesus said, the anxieties of the world choke the word of God when it's shared with others. It actually keeps people from the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't believe that God wants to take all of your stuff, all of your anxieties, if you don't believe God wants it all, you've been listening to lies from the devil. That's who you're listening to. Because what loving father doesn't want to take care of his children 100% all the way? Jesus said this in Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you. That means connect with me. Learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who needed to hear that this morning? Anyone? Amen. We'll move on to verse 20. When Martha heard Jesus was coming, she left the house. She went and met him. She's a go-getter, a doer. She's off. She's not lazy. And Mary just stayed there in the house. But Mary, she went. Martha went. And Martha is the type of person I picture as someone, when there's a loss in the family, she's the one who holds it all together. You know what I mean? You know the type, right? You know the person who who they just got to be strong for everybody else, and they don't let out any emotion hardly. They just hold it all in. And I got to tell you, I know that Martha didn't have much emotion, because when John records a little bit later in verse 32, this is what he says about Mary. When Mary came to where Jesus was, because Jesus asked about her, and Mary came, and we'll get to this later, you know, not this week, but Mary came to Jesus, saw him, fell at his feet, and said, "Lord, if you'd been there, my brother would not have died." She said the same thing Martha said. But when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come were also weeping. He was moved in spirit and greatly troubled. And we'll talk about that when we see the message, Good Grief, Mary. But John records that Mary was weeping. He says nothing about Martha. So we assume then that Martha was being that strong one, you know, the one that's holding it all together. And maybe you've taken that role when there's been a loss in your family or a loss in the past. It doesn't have to be a death. It could be a job loss. Could be anything. And maybe you've been the one who's just like, "I got to be strong. I can't let anything out." Anyone been there before? Anyone been that person? Well, I got to tell you, that's a little bit of a defense mechanism there. And you're going to need to grieve eventually, okay? And I hope that you keep listening so that you know how to grieve in a healthy way, because grieving has to take place. It really does. Verse 21, Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." I love her faith. I love her faith. I mean, she knows Jesus is a miracle worker. Jesus has healed people. When they were blind, he's healed a person who was 38 years as an invalid. He has done these miracles. He can do it again. And if you would have been here, I wouldn't be crying, or I wouldn't be having to go through this, because I know that you could have done it. And I really think Martha is grieving mentally, intellectually. Like, she knows the right answers, right? She knows that Jesus could have done it. And in her head, she's trying to console herself, really. You know what I mean? You've probably done that yourself. But in her heart, she's in pain. She's crushed. And she's struggling. You know? We may know what God is capable of. We may see it in God's word. We may know all the right answers. But we may not like them. And we may not feel like God does that stuff anymore that we read in the Bible. But I'm telling you, he does. He still does. You may have thought, if only God would have answered my prayer just the way I asked. You ever thought that before? You ever said those words? If you just would have answered my prayer the way I was asking you, I can tell you countless stories, and I don't need to tug on you know, your heartstrings this morning, but you know, I think of people, a couple that we're really close to. We both had our first child around the same time. They had a daughter, we had a daughter, and they wanted to have a big family, and it's been over 12 years now, and they haven't been able to have another child. And I know, I remember praying for a month straight. I remember praying daily. I remember just continuously praying, "God, bless them. They want another child so bad." And he didn't. He didn't answer my prayer the way I was asking. I shared with you about a couple just a few weeks ago who, she's had her third miscarriage. They lost twins at 22 weeks, just devastating them. I mean, we know of children dying, teenagers dying, moms with children dying, dads serving in the military dying. I mean, we have all kinds of our own personal stories. And deaths are never things that we pray for, let's be honest. We pray for the exact opposite. And then we ask ourselves the question, why didn't God answer my prayer? I mean, that's the question we ask ourselves sometimes. Why didn't God answer my prayer? The thing is only, I believe it only happens when God, when we pray or don't pray according to God's will. I mean, God only answers the prayers that are according to his will. That's what Scripture says. Teaches us in context. I'm sure you can find a verse out there and you pull it out of context and it'll say God will give you whatever you want, and you could probably go join a church that says you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous the rest of your life, But that's not what God's word actually teaches. When we pray according to his will, you remember Jesus in the garden praying this prayer so close to his death, right? He prayed, God, not my will, but your will be done. Here's a man. Think about it. What was his will? I'm thinking maybe a nice fish dinner and a stroll by the Sea of Galilee, okay? I'm thinking that's what he is wanting at that point in time. Not beatings, humiliation, death by crucifixion. That wasn't his will, but that was God's will. And God is perfect, and God is love. And God has a perfect plan for you because he loves you. And you know what? People would have looked at that. The disciples surely looked at it and said, what? You're the Messiah? You're supposed to be the king? You're dead? They couldn't get that. But we often, you know, God's will doesn't make sense to us a lot of times right away. It takes some time. Jesus loved Martha. She said to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died, right? But even now, verse 22, but even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Now, was Martha actually anticipating or asking for her brother to come back to life? Some commentators suggest that. And I love Joseph Parker, a theologian, a long time ago. He said, when the angels want a good laugh, they read the commentaries. When the angels want a good laugh, because so many people are commentating and maybe putting their own spin on things. Apparently, I thought that was more funny than you guys did. Work on my jokes. But clearly, if you understand the text here and the context of it all, Martha is not saying or even thinking, you can bring Lazarus back to life right now. Because you read the rest of the text, that's not what she's saying. In fact, what is really Martha saying? When she says, even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. What is Martha really saying? Well, Pastor Ray Stedman says this. We have to conclude she is looking for his comfort. She's looking for the release that God can give to a heart that is burdened and saddened, torn with grief, anticipating the loneliness and emptiness of the days ahead. God can give marvelous inward peace. Many have testified to that. That's what Martha's asking for. Even now, Lord, even though he's gone, I want that peace and that comfort. You know, I believe that grieving never ends in this life. You know, there's people who say, you know, how do you overcome grief? I don't think you do. I mean, you know, maybe it's just semantics here, the word overcome. I just don't think you do that. I don't believe that grieving, it just never ends until heaven. In heaven, God wipes away every tear. There's no grieving in heaven. But until we get there, we are going to grieve in one capacity or another. Jamie, my mother, they both lost their moms way too early for their liking, right? And they continue to grieve their loss. I know, because I talk with them. Can anyone comfort them? Maybe a little we can comfort, but I believe that only God can comfort us perfectly. I truly believe that. Only God can do that. Maybe you have lost a loved one. If you have, you know what it means to grieve, and you know it doesn't go away, does it? It's still there. People can help, but they don't replace, right? But I wonder if you have truly experienced God's comfort. 100% of God's comfort. A miraculous inward comfort. Isn't that what you need? Don't we need that? I believe that's what God can give us when we experience loss. I believe he can give us a comfort that can only come from him and nowhere else. I don't believe Martha had yet to receive that. But I believe she's asking for it. I believe she's there, and She's stoic and she's holding it all together for the sake of everyone else. And she probably doesn't want Jesus to see her even cry. And she's hurting. She needs help. And she's asking for it. But she's still kind of got this facade going on. Verse 23, Jesus says to her, Martha, your brother is going to rise again. I don't know how you would interpret that statement. Your brother will rise again. But Martha says, well, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Right? She knew that on the last day, she knew her theology. Okay? She understood. Okay? She didn't read Revelation. It wasn't written yet. Okay? But she knew that was what was going to happen. But Jesus knew God's plan. He knew that something was happening. And Martha is interpreting his words as having hope for the future, right? She's grieving with hope for the future. Oftentimes, people grieve with hope and without hope. And I want to talk about the difference just for a minute, because I think when we go to a funeral, I don't know when the last time you've been to a funeral, but honestly, they're very tough for me to do. I have a hard time with funerals. I definitely prefer weddings, all right? And I've been thankful to do a lot more weddings than I've done funerals. A friend of mine used to pastor at a church locally, and his congregation was a little bit older, and we used to get together, and it was almost like polar opposites. I mean, I've done over 20 weddings, and I think he had done over, 20 funerals, and it's just tough. They're just really difficult to do. And honestly, what makes a funeral really difficult is when I realize through my conversation with the family that the deceased didn't seem to believe in Jesus. And there was no evidence in their life that they accepted Jesus as their Savior. And I see the loved ones just grieving without hope. And oftentimes when people without hope themselves even, and they cope with the loss, and they believe, and I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but they just believe that somehow their loved one is in a better place. I feel like 95% of people, just doesn't matter what kind of person that they knew, and that, they just think that he's in a better place. Yeah, he's probably up there playing poker and drinking beer with Jesus right now. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I've heard, and it just isn't true. It isn't true. Which is why I always share the gospel at funerals. I think people are most receptive to what happens when I die at a funeral. They're thinking about that. People need to hear good news. And I share my faith in Jesus because I believe he is the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the scripture tells us. But funerals for godly people, even though they are difficult, can be quite a celebration. I was thinking about it, and rather than think of a godly person that I know that has passed away, I just thought, when Billy Graham, when he dies, he's in his 90s now, and if you don't know who Billy Graham is, he is the one who I don't know if there's a person today who has led more people to Christ through his travels and his lifetime. But what a celebration it will be. A tearful one, but what a celebration to celebrate the life of Billy Graham when he goes to be with the Lord. He's the one who I shared with you who spoke in Louis Zamperini. Heard him and accepted Christ into his life. So there's quite a difference. Grieving with hope, grieving without hope. Martha here is grieving with hope for the future. She knows she's going to see her brother again. She knows that Lazarus will rise again, and she'll be reunited with him. Maybe you've been grieving like this as well, in the sense that whether it's with hope or no hope, but maybe you're just thinking, you know what? Someday, I know someday, I hope to see them again. And that's your comfort. That's your only comfort. If that's where you're at, I do have some really good news for you. You can have so much more comfort than that. if you understand what I'm saying. Don't just grieve with hope for the future. There's more than that. There's a comfort and there's a peace right now. And Jesus doesn't want Martha to miss it. He doesn't want Martha to go back and do what she probably would have done. Serve, 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 right? She would have wrapped herself up in serving instead of grieving this incredible loss. She would have just said, you know, yeah, someday. And she would just hold on to this hurt. I'm telling you, don't block it out. Don't stuff it. Don't stick a Band-Aid on it. Don't jump back into your busy life. Don't do those things. Maybe you have been doing them, and maybe you're hearing this, and it's really got your eyes wide open. Your ears are wide open, and you're like, wow, I have been doing that. What do I do now? Well, I'm telling you, I've seen the end result of stuffing it, blocking it out, pretending it didn't really happen, not wanting to deal with it. Your grief is going to come out like Niagara Falls at some point. And that's just not good grief. All right? It may need to happen now at this point. If you've been stuffing it away long enough, it may come out that way, and that'll be good. It needs to come out. But in the future, I want you to know how to grieve healthy, in a healthy way. Jesus says in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life, Martha. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she shows tremendous faith. Yes, Lord, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. She has full faith in Jesus Christ. But Martha was viewing the resurrection as a future event. Wasn't she? It's a future event. I'm going to see him someday. It's a future event. She was grieving with hope for the future. And Jesus looks her right in the eye and he says, I am the resurrection. It doesn't have to be future. It doesn't have to be. The resurrection is a person, not an event. It's me. I'm here for you right now, Martha. I love you. I care about you. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I know we all grieve. It's not, like I said, just from death. You might have lost a job. You may have lost a pet. You may have lost a friend. You may have lost your home. We grieve. It doesn't really end. But in Christ, there is comfort. There is a great comfort. If you are born again, the Spirit of God is in you, then you can have comfort. Jesus says this. He told his disciples, John 14:16. He said, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever. That word helper there is capital because it's speaking of the Holy Spirit. It actually should be translated, or could be translated, comforter. Depends on the translation you have. But that's the Holy Spirit. God gave to us a comforter, a Holy Spirit, an inward peace. It's only possible with God. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you've not been born again, it's as simple as saying, I admit I'm a sinner. I've been reading the autobiography of George Mueller, and it's really interesting because he was sharing, when he first became a Christian, he was sharing with some friends of his from youth about his faith in Christ. And they did not view themselves as sinners. They viewed themselves like most people do in America. I'm a good person. I'll probably end up somewhere good, right? That's how a lot of people view themselves that are not understanding what it means to be born again. And he says, I went home and I prayed. George Mueller says, I prayed that they would see their sin. The next day he went back to see them, and they knew they were sinners. The Spirit of God does that. Admit you are a sinner. That apart from God, right, you are separated. That's what a sin is. It separates us from God. Admit you're a sinner. Believe Jesus died for your sins. That's why Jesus died, for your sins. Confess him as your Savior. When we do this, God puts in us his Spirit. That's the gift. That's what adopts us into his family. We're not all children of God automatically. He adopts us into his family through the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be born again. And he promises us that we have comfort. Regardless of our earthly circumstances, we have comfort. He makes us a beloved son, a beloved daughter. Do you want that? If you don't have that, you just need to ask for that. Just ask for that in your prayer. And then tell me. so we can celebrate, because that's some really great news. Now, I want to leave you with just some practical ways to receive this comfort, because as I think about it, it's like, you know what? A lot of times you hear a message and you're like, yeah, that's a really great message in theory, right? I understand it up here, but I want to feel it and experience it here. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of where Martha was. You know, it's like she knew it. She knew that, you know, things were going to be good in the future, but I want this now. So some things to think about, practical ways to be comforted, to receive this comfort. First of all, obviously, you need the Holy Spirit. Okay, I can't, you know, there's no comfort outside the Holy Spirit. That's who He is. He's the comforter. I mean, there's just no way around that. So if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, ask God for it. Okay? Let God's grace work in your life. But some practical ways. Number one, understand grieving is a natural response to pain and loss. It's normal. You're grieving? It's normal. Does everybody grieve the same way? No. Martha grieved one way, right? We're going to hear about Mary grieving another way. Everybody grieves. So don't think it's not normal. How long does it last? Have you been listening? How long has it been last? Forever. It's not going to stop. You're going to grieve forever, okay? But there's some things that will happen as we grieve. Number two, I really think that you need to express your grief to God, who's always faithful. Have you expressed your grief to God? If you read the Psalms, you know that people like David have written down their grief. They have shared how they feel with God. I believe that's the process of healthy grieving. You're expressing it to God. And every time you see the Psalms, and there's multiple ones, and you read, and they start off, and it starts off really sad. you know, really sad. There's some Psalms, but they always end with praise. Praise to God. David did this. Tell God you're sad. Are you sad? Tell Him. Are you depressed? Tell Him. Are you angry? Tell Him. Are you confused? Whatever emotions you're feeling, whatever is coming along with your grief, express that to God. He is faithful. David did just that. Then David threw a pity party for himself, right? No, he didn't do that. He focused on God's faithfulness. When you focus on God's faithfulness, now something amazing happens. Renee sent me a great devotional on Facebook, which was perfect timing for this. Psalm 30, verse 5. For His anger, this is David writing, for His anger is but for a moment, His favors for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And the psalm ends this way. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth, clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You see, when we focus on God and His faithfulness, our mourning is turned into dancing, praising Him. Express your grief to a faithful God. And number three, finally, will you please share your grief with the body of Christ, with your church? You see, every sermon that I close with the same benediction. Probably some of you know it by heart. You don't even realize you do. May the grace of our Lord... Now, this is not the end. Okay, don't jump up and leave. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Now, I chose that benediction. It's the words of Paul when he wrote to the Corinthian church in his second letter. Well, it's actually the fourth letter, but we have the two. But he writes to them saying this, and I love it because I believe in the Trinity. I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I believe that they all have amazing roles in our lives. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, when I say that to you, this is what I want to see in our church. And as I witness it, I try to point it out to myself and to others. But the word fellowship is actually the Greek word koinonia, and it means to not just get together and hang out, but to carry each other's burdens. Did you know that? Did you know that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit means to carry each other's burdens? Paul wrote to the Galatians and said, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. He told the Romans, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. I believe that Life of Purpose Church, this church, is only as good as its fellowship with one another. Our music, our preaching, our programs, they are secondary to the fellowship, the koinonia of this body of Christ. So rejoice when it's time to rejoice and weep when it's time to weep. I expect half of you to call Terry and Leslie and weep with them. Grieving is normal. Express it to God. He is faithful. And share it with the body of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. And Jamie has a wonderful song to sing for you. Lord, I pray that as we hear this message, we will find comfort in your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we will be transformed by your message. This won't just be an intellectual thing here. This will be something that we can live and love you more and trust you more. Indeed, trust you without borders. In Jesus' name, amen.
Many of you know, and some of you don't, but in February of 2016, on the 22nd, I received word that my brother had taken his own life. And the next day, I received word that my aunt, my mom's sister, had a brain aneurysm and had survived and was in ICU. So I proceeded to take a page out of Martha's book, and I went to work, and I put on a happy face, and after work, I drove over to the hospital, and I was able to do that for about 2 months. And then Mary had to come out, which I'll tell you more about when it's time for Mary. So I really needed the reminder today about grieving properly. And when I realized that I couldn't be Martha anymore, God gives you just what you need when you need it, I heard this song. And I've done it before, it's been a long time. But this was exactly what I needed to hear. And God actually told me yesterday that someone here needs to hear it too. So go ahead, please. Oh,
Someone to pray with you, I will pray with you. My wife will pray with you. Will you stand to be dismissed? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the what? Fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. You may go in peace. You're dismissed.